Welcome to The Doctor Is Out, a podcast hosted by Dr. Sharif Akili, resident physician at Stanford Hospital and investor at Polaris Partners. Join Sharif in exploring the extraclinical practice of medicine as he interviews healthcare leaders who have gone from bedside to build companies, run health systems, spearhead public policy, and pursue many other paths where they lend their unique bedside perspectives.
Our guest today is radiologist and founder of Physician Side Gigs, Dr. Nisha Mehta. We have a very cool guest today, Dr. Nisha Mehta, a radiologist trained at UPenn, NYU, and UNC. And she's the founder of the Facebook and LinkedIn groups, Physician Side Gigs, which collectively have over 115,000 physician members. Nisha, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Nisha, you're a very unique guest because not all, but a lot of our listeners are clinicians, surgeons, medical students, residents who might look to this podcast to learn about the different interesting paths providers take in medicine. But your perspective is unique because you built this ecosystem to connect physicians with these less trodden career opportunities they otherwise wouldn't have or explore them. And they're sort of readily accessible opportunities. For our listeners, could you share a bit about what you set out to do when you built these groups and what their mission is?
So it's interesting because it's evolved a lot. The original intention behind the group was nothing that even closely resembles what it has evolved into. Actually, the way that the group started was that I was doing some writing and speaking on my own, and I just wanted to connect with some other physicians that were doing some things outside of medicine and be able to ask questions, bounce ideas off of each other, and really just be able to, you know, if I had a speaking gig that I was offered and I couldn't do it, be able to say, hey, does somebody else want to do this one? This might be a good opportunity for somebody. So it was really just a very small group of people that I was intending on just finding an efficient way to connect with that didn't involve sending a bunch of text messages. And that was the initial intention behind Physician Side Gigs. So we had less than 10 members when I first started it. And really, it took on a life of its own. I think as people heard that we were talking about some of these things, they started asking friends that were doing similar things to add themselves to the group as well. And we just, you know, it really was a one thing led to another sort of thing where close to five years later, we're at over 115,000 physicians on these communities. But what we've really evolved into, what we realized is that people were really looking for the how-to, and they were looking to support each other, and they were looking for community. And so as all of those things came into play, you know, some people really just wanted to understand basic business and finance. And so at some point, we really evolved into this group where we tried to be all the things that we don't teach in medical school that we feel like are, you know, essential skills to being able to be a physician in today's environment. And a lot of the work that I do on the speaking front is really about burnout and, you know, solutions to burnout. And I think for me, being able to combine those two missions together and really create a community of people that was supporting each other and, you know, have that sort of virtual physician's lounge that we don't have time for in daily life these days as physicians was really important to me. So it's definitely evolved a lot over the last 4.5 years. And I think now we've become a place where people come for support. They come for basic, you know, questions that they have, whether it's in regards to side gigs, business, finance, or just talking about their days or being able to share their experience with their colleagues. So it's become a really exciting dynamic community. It's hard to kind of put it in a box the way that it had originally been when we started it.
Why do you feel like burnout has been so much tied to physicians searching these side gigs?
I think for what I see when I talk to physicians that are looking to transition into other things is that they find a reason why the traditional workplace is not compatible with what they want personally and professionally. And I think, you know, I always talk about the fact that my career looks nothing like the careers of those physicians whose portraits lined my medical school hallways. And I think so many of us are finding that we went through this medical system with the very traditional idea of what it meant to be a physician. And a lot of us have really tried to mold ourselves to that mold because that's what we define success in medicine as. And I think as demographics in medicine change and the pressures in the healthcare landscape change, people have really looked at those things and said, well, hey, that career is not compatible with what I want out of my professional life? And how is it that I find something that is fulfilling professionally, but also have what I want on the personal end of things? And I think more and more physicians are starting to ask that question as their personal lives deviate from what the norm has been. So I think that that's been a big impetus to say, well, what else could I do, or how else could I shape my career in a way that does allow those professional and personal goals to align better?
Yeah. Are there any questions you commonly see in the groups? Because I think you very frequently post things or try to help the community by sharing different opportunities. Are there any certain themes that you see pretty frequently?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who just don't know where to start. So we see a lot of general questions, right, about, well, what is even out there? And what could I do if I don't want to be this traditional physician working 60 hours a week in a full-time job? And, you know, I think a lot of people try to ask me, you know, is your goal with physician side gigs to get people to transition away from those traditional jobs? And my answer to that is actually absolutely not. My goal with physician side gigs is to give people the opportunity to create life in medicine on their own terms. And I think for so many people, that requires thinking outside of the box a little bit, which is very aptly named for your but it requires really looking outside of those traditional constructs and saying, well, what is it that I want? And how can I put the different pieces together to really enhance career longevity? Because I think my work in the medical space in general is really trying to allow physicians to enhance that career longevity. Because what I see when I'm talking about burnout and all of these things, you know, you see these statistics about 40% of female physicians leaving medicine entirely or cutting back clinically within their first 5 years of practice. And you think about the fact that over 50% of our future physician workforce is going to be female when you look at matriculation rates in medical school. And there's a real policy problem there in terms of how do we keep people in medicine and how do we keep a sustainable physician workforce? So I think a lot of the questions in the group really revolve around people's individual struggles to be able to, you know, retain that joy in medicine and find their own pathway. And whether that is, you know, how do I create a side income stream that allows me to cut back a little bit clinically? How do I explore careers in medicine that are not related to traditional patient care? How is it that I learn what to do with the money that I'm making in my traditional clinical job to be able to make money off of that money and help that make money for me? How do I even, you know, when my job tells me I have the option for signing up for a 401k, what does that even mean?
Is that
going to do, right? And these are all things that we just never learned in medical school, and I think are so integral to being able to create life in medicine on your own terms.
Yeah, and I don't think one could really get that exposure in medical school. I mean, some of these questions I'll read, they're paraphrased, changed, really de-anonymized, but like one is, I made partner at my practice, but I have to have a buy-in of $100,000. Should I take a loan to buy into the practice? That's a question that I don't think you can really ever tackle in medical school or really any part of your journey unless you talk to somebody who's gone through that exact same path. And right, finding that person's probably
hard.
Few and far between, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because I understand the academic mindset, right? I was on faculty as my first job outside of training at an academic institution. And, you know, truthfully, the problem is we're all surrounded by these like hallow halls of academia, right? And so our mentors don't necessarily know the answers to those questions because they have always been in this academic pathway. And even if you go to some of these, you know, when you go to society meetings and things like that, a lot of the forums and a lot of the panels are run by people who are deeply seated in academia, which is great, right? I mean, I think that we all have a lot of respect for those mentors, but maybe aren't able to give us some of that practical advice about what it is to start a practice or what it is to, you know, I mean, I feel like when I was in academia, I never thought about billing and coding. I never thought about, you know, what is it that I need to do to justify my salary? That was just kind of this black box of, you know, I get paid, I have my salary. Yes, there might be a bonus structure, but there wasn't very much transparency as to how the numbers were done to run a business. And so I think that those are the things where we see, like, especially with residents and fellows who are kind of coming out and exploring all these options, they're saying, well, you know, how do I learn what's right? How do I not get taken advantage of? How do I even know what my options are, what the different practice structures are? like, it's very hard to know what career options are out there because we're surrounded by people who have followed the academic mold if we're in a fellowship training program or a residency training program. And so I think it is really important to have these communities of physicians who, you know, cross generations to be able to give each other advice and tell each other, you know, this was my pathway, recognizing, of course, that everybody's pathway is going to be different, but just being able to provide that outside perspective.
Yeah. Are there any side gigs that you've seen cause disillusionment, or are there questions you see physicians asking outside of medicine that might not be the right question to ask?
Well, you know, I mean, I think if you have 115,000 members in a group, you're going to get all sorts of questions, right? And you know, I think that some things will definitely, you know, we all bring our experiences to the table when we join these sorts of forums or we participate in these sorts of discussions. And so you're always going to get a few strong opinions about things in different ways. And you're going to get some disagreements or maybe some things that are controversial in terms of what people view our roles as physicians to be. So, I mean, I think that that's always the hard part for me as the admin of the group, is really allowing a place for open discussion while keeping things respectful and keeping, you know, acknowledging that not everyone can put themselves in the shoes of the other person. But it's also my hope that by bringing all these different questions and impressions and attitudes and suggestions together in one place and allowing people to see the lives and the decisions of people who don't necessarily have the same demographics as them, we can really change the culture of medicine to allowing ourselves to really put each other in other people's shoes and understand why it is that certain colleagues make the decisions that they do. You know, I think that that's been by far one of the best sort of feedback mechanisms or feedback items that I've gotten from members, is saying, you know, I really never thought about it from that perspective because that's not my reality. And I think that that to me is part of why I love this idea of community building within medicine, because I really do think that's how we all understand each other and change that culture of medicine. You know, I think we all go through medical school and have these gunner type attitudes that are, you know, encouraged and endorsed. And there's always this healthy level of competition that kind of propels us forward in our training. But I think when you get to the end of that pathway, really being able to understand each other and understand, you know, the lives of the physicians that are not ones that mirror your reality is really important if we're going to be able to find solutions that move the needle for burnout, because we really need people to be able to say, well, you know, this worked for this person, but how is it that we keep person B in medicine who looks nothing like person A? And I think part of that starts with really just understanding where each of those people are coming from, right? I know when I speak at places, there's always some critics in the room who are just like, oh, well, that's just so millennial, or that's just so female, yeah, or that's so, you know, and I think I always laugh at people when I'm doing consulting stuff, or, you know, I'm talking to a board full of physicians who maybe fit a more traditional mold, and they say to me, well, you know, this is just a problem in the millennials. And I say, listen, it doesn't matter what it is that what you think of it. These are market forces that are happening on a very large scale. And whether you like it or not, you know, whether you believe that this physician is weak or whether you believe that this physician isn't taking their career seriously enough, honestly, this is the reality of the physician workforce right now and the changing demographics. And you either evolve to be able to survive in that supply and demand ecosphere, or you're going to have a real problem with employee retention or, you know, or recruiting physicians if you're not able to be a little bit more flexible in your thought system. So it doesn't matter to me if you think that this is ridiculous or not. At the end of the day, you're going to be employing a physician workforce that is going to be voicing some of these concerns, and you need to be able to equip your institution to be able to deal with those things.
Yeah, that's extremely insightful. It's really remarkable how incredibly stoic physicians can be when they're supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be empathetic or champions of well-being, but we sometimes struggle with that in ourselves and the entire clinical training system is sort of paradoxical to that in some ways.
Change is hard, right? Change is always hard and brings with it a lot of challenges. But I think that if there's anything that all of these burnout discussions have really shown all of us, is that what we have right now is not sustainable. And so we've got to move towards a system that is sustainable. Yeah. That's going to require some flexibility and some reshaping of attitudes towards, you know, the need for change.
So in a similar vein, if you were talking to a medical student who is early on in their career, maybe they're maybe even a pre-medical student looking towards medicine, and they just need to like focus on the MCAT or their boards or just getting their research or whatever for the specialty they might be interested in, what might you tell them? What advice might you give to them about these side gigs, which probably won't even be on their radar and maybe may not necessarily be something to be, you know, overly fearful about or cynical about, but how might you suggest they think about these as they think about their career, you know, 10, 20 years down the line? Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an interesting topic because I think I struggle with my own ageism, right? Where I, you know, I definitely am more traditional in the sense that I do think that during your training comes first. And I think that it's really, really important, obviously, to get a solid foundation so that you're able to provide quality medical care, right? So definitely, I think the focus of medical school and residency should be on becoming the best physician that you can. However, that being said, I think that so many of our medical students, pre-medical students even, and residents and fellows are getting a lot of messages from the current physician workforce saying, hey, you know, medicine is changing. Maybe it's not what it was cut out to be. A lot of people are miserable, burnout, this, that, and the other thing. And that's where I get frustrated because I do think that there are so many opportunities to be happy in your life in medicine. You are just more intentional about it. And I think what happens is for so many of us, we check off this box back in, you know, college that says we're pre-med, and ever, you know, right after that, every step of your life is planned out for you. Like, this is the test you're going to take next. This is the application you're going to do next. This is, you know, the rotation you have to pass next. Everything is just planned out. And I think what we forget is that during that decade to decade and a half, or maybe even more, that we're in that process, we're changing as people too. Our needs are changing as people too. And it's very important throughout that entire process to kind of check in with yourself and say, what are my goals? You know, is this fulfilling to me? Is this what's making me happy? And also understanding that you can create your own pathway, right? There's nobody that says that you have to work one FTE or 0.5 FTEs, right? Maybe 0.8 FTEs is your sweet spot, but really being intentional about how you make your choices instead of just saying, oh, okay, this was the first job that I was offered and it's at my institution and, you know, therefore it just makes sense. I'm going to take this job, but actually stepping back and saying, what is it that I want out of my career and how do I find that pathway when I'm done at the end of it? If you actually approach your career in that way, there's a lot of physician jobs throughout this country. And truthfully, there is a very real physician shortage. And so if you are intentional about how you shape your life in medicine, you can shape whatever life that you want. And so people telling you, you know, I think about all the things that people have told me throughout my pathway that I couldn't do, quote unquote. And I mean, none of them stood up, right? I've just always been somebody who's marched to my own drumbeat and I did things the way that I wanted to do. And it all worked out fine, right? But I think that that's something that we as a culture need to change in terms of physician workforce attitude towards this can be done or this can't be done. I think there really needs to be this shift to, okay, well, what is it that we want and how do we do it? Because that's, I mean, you know, for me, I think if I would have been working my traditional physician job the way that I was at the beginning of my career, I don't know that I would have wanted to do that until I was 75 or, you know, whenever. But right. By being really intentional about how I've approached things since then, realizing that, you know, that was not necessarily a sustainable model. I mean, what I'm doing now, if somebody allowed me to do it till I was 80, I would do it till I was 80, right? Because it's allowed me to retain a lot of joy in medicine. And I think that that's just really important to tell young physicians, is that there are pathways that will allow you to be able to do what you want. But the bigger challenge is really figuring out what you want. And that's something that hasn't been asked of you probably since you checked off your pre-med box. So you need to check in with yourself and say, what is it that I want? What am I working towards? And then what do I need to do to make those pathways open to me?
Yeah, yeah. Because medicine's a freight train. You sort of get on it freshman year of college. You get off when you're like in your 30s.
Right.
A lot can happen over the time.
A lot.
Yeah. Nisha, that topic, are there any side gigs you pursue? How do you have your clinical practice set up right now? If you feel comfortable sharing.
No, absolutely. I, so up until last year, I worked full time and I was just doing all of these things on the side. At some point it turned into two, maybe more full-time jobs and was not sustainable. And I think, you know, I struggled with the same things that everybody struggles with when they're making a change. You know, I had a job as a radiologist that I loved and I didn't want to give it up and they weren't giving me part-time options. So I just kind of stuck with it and then did everything else on the side until it just got to a point where it just was not sustainable anymore. I mean, I was literally like, I wasn't sleeping enough and I wasn't happy because I was doing too much. And so finally, I came to an agreement with my group that I would work for them per diem. And that way I would be able to do some of the other stuff during daytime hours, because before what I was doing is working, you know, a full clinician shift, during the work week. And then I would come home, be with my kids, you know, do family time. And then once my kids would go to bed, you know, more often than not, instead of spending time with my husband, I'd be on my computer, you know, doing work.
Could you explain for our listeners what per diem exactly is and how that compares to full employment?
Yeah.
Or so not full, I shouldn't call it not full employment, but the traditional employment.
A traditional, right. So, so I now work, on an as needed basis, basically. And so, you know, some months that can be 8 times a month, 10 times a month, and some months that can be 3 times a month. So it varies a lot on my end how much I'm working. In terms of how it compares to traditional employment, I no longer get benefits through my job, which is fine for me because my husband is a physician as well and has a job, you know, that we can get benefits from. And certainly my income is not guaranteed on the clinical side of things. So I only get paid for how much I work, basically. So, you know, there's obviously advantages and disadvantages to that. Fortunately, I've gotten myself to a point with my other income streams that my clinical income doesn't really matter anymore. It's really just more icing on, I mean, I work clinically because I love it and I don't want to give it up, but it's not my major source of revenue at this point. And so it's okay for me to take a little bit of a cut on that end in order to have the flexibility that I want to be able to do the other things. So, you know, now I try to work somewhere, you know, I try to work at least once a week on average if I can, and then more if possible. But by the same token, that gives me a lot of time to work on some of the other things that I do. So I know you had asked about that. You know, I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of consulting. I do a lot of speaking with other physicians about what they want to do with their careers. And then I do a lot of like advertising and stuff related to the group. And really being able to bridge physicians with resources. And so I'll often serve as a go-between between different companies and physicians to be able to match people with opportunities. And I try to really make that a win-win-win where I try to, you know, provide benefits to my physicians that I'm connecting them with that they wouldn't get elsewhere by sort of leveraging the group negotiating power to help our physicians to get something, and then the company, and then, you know, they'll usually pay me for my time as well. And so, so that can be a part of what I do. And then I do a lot of real estate investing. So I kind of do a lot of different things in terms of side income streams, but yeah, it's been a really fun pathway. I mean, I think that for me now it's sort of, what is it that floats my boat at any given moment? And then I just kind of go with it. So, you know, this year I've been doing a lot of advocacy work because I think there's, you know, and obviously, I don't know if you can call it a side gig because it's not lucrative.
No, but still, I think that's a side gig.
Yeah. Right. There's no money in it, but it's very fulfilling on a personal level. And again, I think that that's what allows you to have that joy in medicine is when you get to do the things that you're passionate about, you know? So I've been able to find a way through all of the other income streams to be able to support what we need financially. And then that allows me to really be able to spend a lot of time on passion projects and things that I also really want to be able to do on behalf of the physician community. So, you know, this year we were able to actually bring, you know, legislation to Congress where we were able to say, you know, this is what physicians need during coronavirus and here's how you can help us. And
wow,
able to really make an impact on some initiatives there. And hopefully we'll continue to do so, you know, So there's a lot of different things that you can do. I think that there's a lot of things that all of us would like to do, right? Physicians in general, if you think about who we were before medical school, we were all very well-rounded, very interesting people, I think. I think my physician colleagues during, you know, were, when you dig back and ask them kind of, you know, about their pathway, people have such great like interests and talents that they had that kind of allowed them to get through, you know, to get into that college of their choice or that medical school of their choice, and really being able to revive some of that and not get so pigeonholed into one thing, I think is really key to keeping yourself happy and excited about what you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, right. And you also allow yourself to keep learning and stretch yourself in different ways and use your mind in other ways you hadn't maybe since like college or whenever you were creating that well-rounded application.
Yes, I think that's absolutely the most fun part about what I do is just being able to like put on a business hat one day and being able to put on an advocacy hat another day and being able to put on my doctor hat another day. It keeps all the different parts of my brain firing and keeps things interesting. And I think that that's what a lot of us are looking for.
So Nisha, when you set out to build this community, do these, pursue these other projects, it wasn't anything you originally anticipated, as you were mentioning. Yeah. Is there anything that you found helpful in helping guide yourself, a North Star or technique that you might recommend for others who might be looking for their own sort of existential path that might not really be illuminated before them?
Yeah, no, I think that that is actually a really good point. So I think what happens is, and where I see a lot of people sort of sidestepping into additional frustration from their side hustle pursuits, right, is when you're not pursuing something that you're truly passionate about, right? Because I think we're all busy enough in medicine and all, you know, have some element of burnout that we might be dealing with, that to add something onto your plate that's going to contribute to that is not really fruitful. And most people, you know, are doing well enough as physicians that you're not going to pursue something that you're not passionate about. And furthermore, you're probably not going to be successful in something if you're not passionate about it, right? I think people really, you know, understand when somebody's passionate about something and then that's infectious and that usually makes it successful, right? So what I hear from some people is like, oh, I hear this is a very popular thing these days, so I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, if you don't like it, and if that's not really what gets you up in the morning and excited, then you're only going to last so long pursuing that. And you're only going to have such like a certain amount of success in most cases, because you're just not driven to make it successful, right? So for me, I think the real pathway that has sort of led me, you know, that has yet to fail me is really just keeping track of sort of what that North Star is, you know, what is your why, what is your mission, and then really trying to stay consistent with that, right? And for me, you know, my mission has always just been about career longevity and improving the situation for physicians. And so if I can kind of keep that as my guiding light and say, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to change the culture of medicine. I'm trying to make people think outside of the box about career longevity and how to get there, then every single opportunity that comes across my plate, you know, and I think as you become more successful, obviously the more and more of these things that come across your plate, and it becomes harder to know where you want to dedicate your attention. And so you just kind of have to align those projects with, are they consistent with my mission? And if they are, and you've built, you know, something that has been built around that mission, then, you know, as long as those two things align, you're probably going to be very successful with it. I think where you start running into problems is where you start, you know, deviating from that mission. And I see that, you know, where I see people fail is when they start deviating from that mission and really, you know, getting distracted by some of the other shiny lights around them. And for me, it's really just, I'm very, very, you know, clear about every time there's an opportunity that comes on the table, it's, you know, is it consistent with my why? Is it what I want to do? Is it consistent with the legacy that I'm trying to create? And if the answer to those things is yes, then it's a green light. And if it's no, then, you know, and I think that if you really stick to that as your mission, and then the opportunities will come, the money will come, the success will come, whatever it is that you're looking for in why you're doing what you're doing. All of that will evolve naturally as long as you stay consistent with that thing. So I always tell people to spend a lot of time really focusing on why they're doing what they're doing and really getting a good understanding of that from the get-go. And then after that, it becomes easy to find opportunities that align with that why.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Very insightful. Well, Misha, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It was such a treat to have a chance to chat with you.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to listening to more episodes of your podcast. It sounds like it's going to be really exciting and really interesting for everyone.
That does it for this episode of The Doctor Is Out. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support us, please leave a review on Apple Podcast or whichever podcast platform you use. And if there's something you found you really liked or didn't like or would like to make a suggestion, feel free to reach out by email at info@tdio.org.